heading into Pentecost. Next Sunday would be the official celebration of the Feast of Pentecost. And that was the time the Holy Spirit came. So it's not called Pentecost because the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came on Pentecost. The Feast of Pentecost was being celebrated, and Pentecost came, and the Holy Spirit came. So they just put the two together. So we refer to Pentecost. So people say, are you Pentecostal? Well, do you celebrate the fifth feast? Is that what you're asking? Actually, what they're saying is, you know, do you speak in tongues? That's what they're really asking. Well, today I want to lead us into a two-week teaching on the Holy Spirit. My title is called Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. I would like to ask you a few questions before I get going. And I'd really appreciate you cooperating with me because it will help me as I unfold the teaching to know who I am addressing. Okay? So it would help me. So if you would cooperate, I'd appreciate it. How many of you have given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and have been baptized in water by immersion? Can I see your hand? All right, put your hand down. How many of you who have received Jesus as Lord and Savior, baptized in water, went on to receive the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking other tongues? Can I see your hand? All right. Now you see how everybody's cooperating. This is great unity. This is awesome. This is unrestricted unity. Now I wonder if you were not able to raise your hand on any of those two questions, if you'd be brave enough to work with me now and raise your hand. How many of you would say, well, I received Jesus, but I actually have not yet been baptized in water? Could I see your hand? I have not yet been baptized in water. Okay? Not many. That's pretty good. That's awesome. All right. Now, how many would say this? Pastor, I've received Jesus, and I've also received the promised Holy Spirit. Now, let me back up. I have received Jesus, but as yet have not received the Holy Spirit. I don't have the gift of speaking in tongues. Would you raise your hand? Would you be kind enough to work with me on that one? Okay. Not many. Okay, you guys, I'm glad that you're here today because we're going to have an awesome meeting tonight. And you will all be filled tonight. So get ready. All right? All right. So we're going to have an awesome meeting. Can we have a communion service prepared for the youth tonight? I'd like to serve them communion before we, whoever's in charge, I don't know, are you in charge of that? Okay. Thank you so much. All right. Well, good. Well, then most of you already know what I'm going to say. This will probably then just be a refresher course. Now, for those of you who've been to Bible college, you'll recognize where I'm going with this. So I'm actually taking something out of the Bible college notes, and I'm sharing it with the rest of the crowd, okay? So if you've been to Bible college, don't fall asleep. This is a refresher. There's no exam, so be just like, wow, enjoy it, okay? So I want to show you something about this. Can you see the borders of is this in your way? Is it okay if I put it here? All right. So a lot of people don't know this, but there are actually three baptisms that Christians go through, have a right to go through, and the privilege to go through. And the first baptism that we have here is when you are baptized into Christ. So I'm going to put you into Christ, okay? This is actually salvation. You are baptized, the Bible says, into Christ. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to draw a little picture here, okay? This is my Jesus, okay? He's wearing a skirt, okay? Here we go. Awesome. And he has a smiley face. Jesus was a smiley. Lovely. Okay. Now what happens is that you come along, and when you get saved and you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, what happens is this, the Holy Spirit takes you and puts you inside Jesus. Now, you're not so fancy. You're a stick man. But you're inside there. Okay? But the awesome thing that he does as well as putting you inside Jesus, he does an amazing thing. I'm going to put you now on the outside. Okay? Here we go. He puts Jesus inside. I make a cross. He puts Jesus inside you. His Spirit of Christ comes inside you. So you go in him. He comes in you. Awesome unity. Are you with me so far? Let's have a look at the scripture. I'm going to just give you a couple of scriptures. I'm not going to take a lot of time. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, "For we are all baptized by one spirit into one body." And Galatians 3:27 says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." All right? So this baptism here, the first baptism, is when you get born again. This is when you get cleansed from your sin and you become a new creature in Christ and Christ in you. That's what it means. You get saved. You got born again. And as far as I can tell, I think everybody in the room today is at that point. If you are, wave your hand at me. Say, yeah, that's me. I'm there. All right. Okay. So, Chris, are you sure you're not? I thought you were. I'm just kidding with you. Okay. Okay. So the first one is salvation. And let me write the word salvation here so that we are sure we know what this is. Okay. This is the baptism, the first baptism that you go through. Now, the second baptism, how many can tell me what that is? Of course it is. It's water. So we'll do a nice big tank here. That's my water tank. Okay, here goes the water. And we'll put you lying down because that's where you're supposed to be. You're not supposed to be on top of the water. Okay, you got to go down under the water. See? So the second baptism, and we'll just call it water. Now, who did the work here? Who got you into Christ? Everybody say the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is what we call the agent. He is the one who does the work here. Not only does he cause your spirit man to be born again, but he is the one who baptizes you into Jesus, into Christ. Now we've got a water baptism, which is the second baptism, and you have got to be dunked under the water. The question is here, who gets to dunk you? Who gets to put you down under the water? Huh? Shout it out. Man, elders, pastors, anybody? A believer is the answer I'm looking for. That's the answer I'm looking for. You see, not anybody can do that. And while a pastor can, and while an elder can, any disciple of Jesus can. And so any husband can baptize the wife. Any wife can baptize the children, as long as they are disciples of Jesus and are following Scripture. You don't have to be baptized by somebody wearing a robe and a collar back to front. Any disciple of Jesus can do this water baptism. So here, the agent is a disciple, right? That's a disciple of Jesus. That's the agent that does that. So far, so good? All right, let's have a look at a Scripture. Now, let me ask you before I go on, what happens if you miss step one and you go straight to step two? Baptism two. Does that work? No? No, what'll happen is you'll go in a dry sinner and you'll come out a wet sinner. Okay? There's no magic in the water. It's not going to wash away your sins because it's not the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all your sin. So water baptism is critical. It's the way we're supposed to do it, but you can't start with it. You have to start up here. This is a second thing that you get to do. So here's a scripture found in Matthew 28:19. "Go therefore," Jesus said, "and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." You see, water baptism is a watery grave. It's when you bury your old man. It is an actual, what it is an outward showing to the world of something that has happened in your heart. We can't tell when we look at you that you have received Jesus and that you've had a change in your heart. We can't tell. If we stick around you long enough, we'll know that your language has changed and your actions have changed and you're more loving and gracious and kind, and some of the personalities and characters of Jesus is coming to go, whoa, what happened to you? You know? We're probably able to tell that has happened to you. But by looking at you, you know, if you were nice and gray like Dennis, that didn't happen when we received Jesus. I seen the Lord. I did see the Lord. That's why I look like that. Actually, he looks like he's seen the Lord. When you get up close, you go, whoa. And then he speaks to you and he starts to speak and you go, whoa, okay, Lord. Man, if he doesn't laugh so much, if he was just serious, we'd be in big trouble when we spoke to him, wouldn't we? It's like talking to the Bible. You're going to play golf with him, and we're totally drunk by the third hole. He just doesn't quit. Anyway, I lost my place. What you look like before you got saved, you look like after you got saved. I wish I could promise 10-pound reduction, but I can't. I totally have people lining up for it. But no, it doesn't change you on the outside. It's an inward change. So when you get baptized in water, you are letting the world know something has happened inside me. It's a declaration to your friends and your relatives that I have made a decision to follow Jesus. So it's a big deal. But it's symbolic. It symbolizes Jesus dying on the cross. See this? Being buried. And then when you come out the water, like this, you come out, you actually are already a new man in Christ. But here you come out and you walk in a newness of life. Now you walk in a new lifestyle. You've buried the old. You've buried that. I'm coming up. I'm following Jesus with my whole heart. And you let your friends know. So this is all about public acknowledgement. Okay? All right. So now let's go to the third baptism. And the third baptism is the one that has created, well, this has created some problems because churches split right about here. Some baptize and some don't. Some actually call them Baptists because this is what they focus on. And some believe that we get saved, so they've got denominations that go along with this. And other denominations say if you're not baptized, you're not saved. So there's a lot of confusion out there concerning the baptisms. The third baptism is the baptism in and with the Holy Spirit. In and with. Forgive me for abbreviating. HS. With and in the Holy Spirit. Now, let's read what Jesus said in Matthew. Well, it wasn't Jesus actually. It was John the Baptist. In Matthew 3 and verse 11, if you would. Thank you. John the Baptist said this, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, which was this one here. But it was unto repentance. They hadn't reached repentance yet. This was before repentance because Jesus hadn't died yet. And he said, but he who is coming after me, who is he talking about? Jesus. He who is coming after me, Jesus, is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. Now, please read what the Bible said. John the Baptist said, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Say, and fire.
And fire.
So who's going to do the baptizing?
Jesus
is going to do the baptizing. So let me put this down. Who is the agent here?
Jesus.
Thank you so much. The agent is Jesus. Okay, so let's not get confused. It is not the Holy Spirit that's doing this. It's Jesus that's doing it. I'm just kidding. That's a sealer. That's what a sealer called. Be quiet. And let them think you've lost your place. It's called sealer in the Bible. So Jesus is the agent that baptizes you into the Holy Spirit and with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to do Holy Spirit from the Old Testament. What is that? It's a cloud. Yay. You guys are so smart. Into the cloud you go. All right? And then cloud is in you. You're in the cloud. And the cloud's in you. Are you still following me? That's a baptism with and in. On and in. Who does this? Jesus does it. A believer doesn't do it, but a believer participates and cooperates to help it happen. It's through the laying on of hands of a believer that this happens. But behind the scenes, the spiritual person behind the scenes actually imparting this is Jesus. He's the agent. So, Jesus' last words, would be very important. I can just imagine what your last words might be if you knew you were dying. You're lying in hospital and you knew you were going, or you're at home and you knew the Lord had told you you're going home in a couple of hours. If you were lying there, you wouldn't ask, what is the Padre score? Because, you know, that's just a waste of time asking a question like that. You would be asking or speaking about something that's critically important to you, vitally important. It's the last words you're going to say to your family, last words you're going to say to your children, last words you're going to say to your spouse. Correct? They are weighty words. They are the most weighty words you could possibly say. So imagine Jesus knows he's going. He gathers his disciples around him and he speaks to them. And he says to them, I want you to go and wait in Jerusalem to receive the Holy Spirit. You know, there are no instructions in the Bible. Listen carefully now. There are no instructions in the Bible on how to receive the gift of tongues. There are no instructions in the Bible on how to seek the gift of praying in tongues. You are unable to do that the moment you receive the baptism with and in the Holy Spirit. It happens automatically after that. You don't have to seek it. You don't have to ask for the gift of talking in tongues. There's no instructions. But there are instructions on how to use the gift. They would indicate that receiving the gift is not the problem. It's using it that's the problem. Is that true or not? Sir? So people mess up on how to use it. God didn't tell you how to get it. That's got to be crazy. If God wants you to have it, why wouldn't he tell you how to get it? Because it's like when you get the water, you get the wet. When you get the Holy Spirit, that comes with. It's not a separate experience. You don't go swimming and then go looking for something wet. When you go swimming, you get wet. They're not two different things. Well, I received the wet. Have you received the wet? Since you've been a Christian, have you received the wet? I don't know what you're talking about. I went swimming, then I got wet as well. Yeah, but our church is built around receiving the wet. It's a special apartment. Special. We are wet Christians. Are you with me? Making fun of it. Making fun of ourselves, aren't we? Because that is what happens. You know, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is recorded in every single gospel. The only other event that has this privileged position is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the actual gospel. Nothing else appears in all four gospels. I think that would be a little important. Let me quote them to you. It's not in your notes. We've already looked at Matthew 3:11. In Mark 1:8, it says this, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In Luke 3:16, it says, John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, whose thongs or sandals I am not worthy to untie, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And John 1:33 said, I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man who on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So it's in all of them. So we know that this is especially meant for us to understand. Is Jesus your example? He truly is he not? He is our Lord. He's our example. We follow Jesus. If anything goes wrong in your life, one thing is certain. You can always go back and say, Jesus, my example. I'm going to follow Jesus in this situation. Right? If your pastor messes up, if somebody messes up, if somebody hurts you, it doesn't matter. You can always go back and say, Jesus is my example. Could I have a good amen? Amen. Thank you. Now, Jesus didn't need to get saved. He never ever sinned. He didn't need to get saved. We needed to get saved because we needed to get rid of the sin and get washed in the blood of Jesus. But Jesus did need to get born again. Now, this is for the Bible school students. We're up at that level now. We've taken it up a notch. But you could listen. What do you mean he had to get born again? Because when he took the sin of the world into his spirit was separated from God. It's called spiritual death. And when he came back out of hell, he had to get born again. He was the first born from the dead, the Bible says. So he didn't have to get saved because he never had to repent. But after he took the sin of the world, deliberately, he had to get born again. Okay? You with me so far? Some of you are looking at, whoa, not sure that I'm with you. That's all right. Now, did Jesus get baptized in water? So he did this. He got born again. Then he got baptized in water as well to fulfill all righteousness. The question is, did he receive the Holy Spirit? Come on now. Come on now. Some of you are scared to answer me. No comment. Yeah, he did. You remember at the baptism when he was baptized in water. What happened out of the sky? Yeah, no, the Spirit came like a dove. It wasn't a dove. Okay, this is not what happened when Jesus, you know, birdie came down. Birdie. I know, that's Picasso's birdie. A birdie didn't come down and settle on his head. The Spirit came down as a dove would and settled on him. And the Father had told John the Baptist, on who you see the Spirit come down and remain on him permanently, he is the one who's going to baptize with the Spirit. That's how John recognized him. You say, well, they were cousins. They should have known each other. Yes, in the flesh, they knew each other. But he didn't know him as the Son of God. He didn't know him as the Savior of the world. He had no idea that his cousin was going to save the whole world. And nor did his brothers. Come on, you take the trash out. No, shut up, you take the trash out. I'm Jesus. Don't talk to me like that. I don't care who you are. You don't think that happened? Come on now. He had a normal childhood. He had a normal childhood. Now, what was Jesus' last words? This is the question I was asking you a little earlier. And we have to go to Luke 24 and verse 49 to find out. Here's our example. And it says this, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. Please notice what my Father has promised. Jesus asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit, and the Father said yes. So now there's a promise in place. This church is called the Promise, based on that scripture. That's where we got the name from. Because it's a Holy Spirit promise the Father made, and the Father doesn't let you down. If he says so, it's final and it will happen. So he said, stay in the city of Jerusalem until you be clothed with power from on high. So this promise is the promised gift. Now watch in Acts 1:4. This is at the very, very, very last moment before Jesus ascends up to heaven. He says this, while they were eating, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. Two occasions, he said, go and wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay, now I want to ask you something. Jesus has died. He has risen from the dead, correct? The disciples have believed on him. They've seen him risen from the dead. Are they saved? Aren't you glad you came to church today? Seriously. Man, don't ask me so many questions. You speak, I'll listen. No, I want you to follow with me. I want you to discover these truths for yourself. They got saved by believing in Jesus. Anybody in the Old Testament who would believe in the future coming of the Messiah would be saved. Abraham was saved. They were saved, but they weren't born again. How come they weren't born again? Because the Holy Spirit hadn't come to do the work. He was on his way. The Holy Spirit had to take them and put them in Christ, but he hadn't come yet. So Jesus sends his saved disciples to Jerusalem, waiting for them to get born again and to have this experience of being put in Christ, Christ in them, and then to have the Holy Spirit come into them and them into the Holy Spirit, because he's the baptizer. Now, why has the Holy Spirit not come yet? Because Jesus said, I haven't gone to the Father. Only one of us can be on earth at the same time in physical manifestation. Is it too deep for you? I don't want to lose you. So while Jesus was here, he alone was anointed by the Holy Spirit, but the fullness of the Spirit was not on the earth covering the waters of the sea from glory to glory. He was still with the Father. He was not in physical manifestation in every place. He anointed certain people like kings and priests. He was upon prophets, certain limited places. Jesus said, I'm going to the Father. When I go, the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to cover the whole world. And he's going to flood everything. So whoever wants to can step right in and receive. Whoever. So don't leave Jerusalem until you have this experience. The very last words Jesus is telling them. It's not really important for you to receive the Holy Spirit. As long as you've got me, it's fine. If Jesus thought it was important enough for his disciples to receive, then who are we to say, I don't need it? Because I thought Jesus was your teacher and mentor. And if he said it was for his disciples, then obviously it was for you, unless you're not his disciple. Oh, that's a little deep. I should. Okay, are you still with me? All right. So, Jesus had to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He couldn't do the miracles without that. In fact, there's no recorded miracles Jesus ever did prior to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not one. It was only after he received the Spirit that he was able to overcome the heavy temptation Satan brought against him. After the Spirit came upon him, that he went out into the wilderness and he was tempted. Because there was power rested in him. Then he began to walk in miracles because it was the Holy Spirit in him doing the work. You're not the one who's going to perform the miracles. It's the Holy Spirit in you and on you will do the miracles and speak through you. Amen? So, why did Jesus tell them they have to receive the Holy Spirit? Let's continue reading in Acts 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power. Everybody say power.
Power.
Say it again.
Power.
When you get baptized in water. You'll receive power when you get saved. You'll receive power when you join the church. You'll receive power when you become an elder. When do you receive the power, people? When the Holy Spirit comes on you. Say this, I got the water with the wet. When I received the Holy Spirit, I received the power. They're inseparable. So Jesus told them, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power, and then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In other words, he said, don't you dare go witnessing until you have the Holy Spirit, because you won't have the power to witness. But once you receive the Holy Spirit, you'll have power to witness. What are you doing with your power? Are you witnessing? Those who raised their hands and said, I received the Holy Spirit? Because you do have the power. Are you using it? Now I'm meddling. So let's give you the divine order. We have these three. I'm sure by now you know it, but let's go to Scripture and show you the divine order. You're in the book of Acts. Have a look at chapter 2 and verse 36. Therefore, all of Israel, be assured. Peter's standing up and he's speaking. He says, be assured of this, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? They were guilt-ridden. They who participated in crucifying Jesus. They didn't recognize him, didn't know who he was. And they shouted, crucify him, crucify him. They may not have knocked the nails in his hands, but they were certainly part of the crowd that shouted, crucify him, crucify him, don't care. Now you see, most people, before they come to know Jesus, are part of the crowd that don't know him and are quite willing to shout, crucify him, use his name in vain, blasphemous, on it goes. Because they don't recognize who he is. But once they find out who he is, they say this, what shall we do? Now, this is the big answer. What shall we do? Are you ready for it? These are the people that crucified Jesus. All the people that don't know who he is. This is the big answer. Watch. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus. Repent would be up here, number one. Number two, be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, number three. Do you see the divine order? Number one, repent. Number two, water baptism. Number three, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, please notice, you will receive the person of the Holy Spirit. You will receive the person of the Holy Spirit, not a gift of tongues, not a gift of interpreting tongues, not a gift of praying in tongues. You receive a person. When you get married and two people become one, you don't get the right arm of the person. You get everything. Isn't that so? You get the house, the bank, checkbook, credit cards, car, everything. At least you're supposed to. Isn't that true? Okay, you're supposed to. So you don't say, no, sweetheart, no, sweetheart. You get me for now. Later on, about 3 months from now, I'll take you home. And I'll give you my gift. Gift will be staying in my home. And 6 months after that, you can use the car. So each one of these gifts come a little slowly. We've got to work. You're not worthy. You're not worthy yet. You've got to work into this. Now, when you get married, you get the whole bang, enchilada, whole 9 yards, the whole everything. You get it all together. Then you have to work out thereafter how this thing works. Because it was fine while you were dating and engaged, but when you got married, the wheels fell off because you had no steering wheel and you didn't know how to work this thing. Are you listening to me? Yeah, there was good marriage counseling right there. Okay, so the point is, what I'm saying is, you didn't receive gifts or a gift or prophecy or interpretation. No, you received the person of the Holy Spirit, and with him came the whole enchilada. All of the gifts came with him. You got the water with the wet. You got the power and the gifts at the same time you got the person. You good? So, I hear this quite often. Yeah, but Pastor Henry, you know what? It was only for those early believers. They so totally needed it. But now that the full revelation of Scripture has come and we have the whole Bible, now we don't need the tongues and all that interpretation and everything else. And now we have doctors and good hospitals. We don't need the miracles of healing. So miracles are done away with. Tongues are done away with. And we're back to sprinkling. And so really, it was just for the early Christians. Well, you know, God knew you were going to say, well, not you. God knew that they were going to say this. And if you'd only kept reading, the very next verse, verse 39 says this, and the promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off. That would include me and you. We're afar off. We're way in the distance. We're in the far off group. So the promise is for you that day and going on forever. And for whom the Lord decides to call. Now, let me finish this with talking about another event where we see this happening, and it's called the Samaritan Revival. The Samaritan Revival. Now, the Samaritan Revival started with a man named Philip. Philip was a deacon. There was only 7 deacons in the church at the time, and he was so full of fire and faith and everything else, and just so gung-ho that he couldn't sit still in the city of Jerusalem. He decided, I'm going to go find myself a place to preach. So he went to the Samaritans, which are the outcasts. These were a mixed breed of people that the Jews had no business talking to. They actually, in the law, forbid it. Okay? And when Jesus went to visit with them, this is when he spoke to the woman at the well. It was a Samaritan woman. And she said, hey, what are you doing talking to us? Jews don't talk to Samaritans. Remember that? And she was so shocked, like, what are you doing talking to us? And he ministered to her. Well, Philip, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, decides, I'm going out to Samaria. I'm going to go preach the gospel. So let's pick up the story as he arrives in Samaria, and it's found in Acts chapter 8, verse 14. So Acts 8 is about 8 years after Pentecost. Each chapter is about a year later. So 8 years after the Holy Spirit comes. Verse 14, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God. Well, let me just back up a bit. Let me back up to verse 12. It might be easier, starting there. When they, the Samaritans, believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So, number one, they believed. Number two, they were baptized in water. Good so far? All right. Now, the problem is that nobody had received the Holy Spirit in or on them, and they hadn't gone baptized in the Holy Spirit. So there was a disconnect. They went to one and two. They didn't go to number three. So what should happen? People are saved, baptized in water, but nobody's received the Holy Spirit yet. It said they were baptized, both men and women. Now you jump to verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John. These are the two big boys, right? Top apostles, heavy numbers. These are the big guys. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit because, verse 16, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of Jesus. And then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Is that clear enough? Do you see the sequence? Now, they were saved, but had not received the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you this question. And listen, before you answer me, just think about this a little minute. Is every person who is saved, received Jesus, loves God, are they also filled with the Holy Spirit? It's obviously from this that they're not. So why are people so offended when you tell them there is a gift you can receive called the Holy Spirit? Why would they say, I received the Holy Spirit when I got saved? When clearly in Scripture, there's no such Scripture. I could go and I could show you at least two or three others. But for time's sake, I've chosen just some to show you. You can do your own research. You'll find this occurs in more than one place. That people receive Jesus, get baptized in water, and they stop there. They don't go any further. Now, that is true for millions of people calling themselves Christians around the world today. That is true. That's the case. The question is, will they go to heaven? Probably a lot sooner. Not because they've sinned, but because they're living without the power. Remember, Jesus had the power to resist temptation when it came. The devil. So people without the Holy Spirit are going to have a greater problem resisting. Yeah? Okay. They're also going to have a slight shortcoming in their prayer language. Because the Bible says that when you pray in the Spirit, you pray the perfect will of God. It's the only time you pray the perfect will of God is when you're praying in the Spirit. You say, but I don't know what I'm saying. Good. God didn't want you to know. Because your mind would get in the way. God is praying things through you that you have no business knowing about. And if you did know about it, you'd foul it up and your faith would stop it from working. So you say, I'm going to pray through you stuff you don't know anything about because I've got to move this planet over there and I've got to move this over there and I've got to get that over there. And if you knew what I was doing, you would just like, can't be, can't be. And then I'm sitting here. Somebody once said, it's surprising that God can't do anything on earth without somebody praying first. Because he gave that authority over to us. In verse 18 of the same chapter, Simon the sorcerer had given his life to Jesus. He was in the city of Samaria. He had given his life to Jesus and been baptized with water. But he was a sorcerer. And he saw that through the laying on of hands, the Spirit was given. Watch this. He said, and Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying of the apostles' hands. So something happened that was evident to everybody around that when the apostles put hands on people, the Holy Spirit came upon. It was evident. Something, there was a manifestation in the natural world that was evident they just received the Holy Spirit. It was evident. Simon the sorcerer was able to see it. So was everybody else. In fact, it was so evident that they all knew that they hadn't received until they received. Because they'd all got saved, baptized in water, and yet none of them had received the Holy Spirit. So the apostles had to go down and minister to them specially. So this week and next week, I'm going to lay hands upon you, not as an apostle, as an ordinary believer. Just as an ordinary believer, and Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, not me. I'm going to put my hands on you, but Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. If you haven't received, if you've been saved, baptized in water, you're entitled to this gift. Now, you may say to me, Pastor Henry, you know, I got born again, and shortly after that, I started speaking tongues, and I wasn't baptized in water. How did that work? Isn't God gracious? Isn't God gracious? How many of you did that happen to, that you actually got filled with the Holy Ghost, talking tongues before you got baptized in water? Raise your hand. Come on. Don't be shy. It's not a trick question. It's true. It's true. He does permit that. And he allows that. You can't put God in a box. But what you can't do is reverse this and get the Holy Spirit before you get saved. That can't happen because Jesus said, you can't put new wine into old wineskins. The old wineskin is the old human spirit. The new wine is the Holy Spirit. He said, you cannot put the new Holy Spirit into old wineskins. It'll burst the skin. Your old human spirit cannot contain the Holy Spirit. You have to be born again and receive Christ in you so that you're big enough capacity to receive Him. And we're just beginning. Amen?